This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is time for the Player Spotlight here on 710 ESPN Seattle with Wyman and Bob, and it is a pleasure to speak to a member of this defense who joins us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline talking about cornerback DJ Reed is with us. DJ, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Bless. How you doing?
We're great. It's good to talk to you, and I'm just curious. We've talked to a couple of other players about, you know, immediately after the game. You fans are all up in arms, or they're upset. They, you know, obviously they hate when their team loses, and they hang on to it the entire week until the next game comes. You guys can't do that. You get right back into the film room. You start preparing for the next opponent. Is that kind of a 24-hour thing where you guys, you'll stew on it for a while, be upset about it, and then wake up the next day and turn the page?
I mean, yeah, in a way, I would say it's about a 24 to 48-hour time period because we practice on Wednesday, so the last day, you know, you should be thinking about it is Tuesday. Me personally, you know, that's a tough game to get away. You know, being up however much we were up by a lot at halftime. And for them to come back was obviously, you know, a devastating loss. But, you know, we got to just wipe it off and, you know, get ready for this week.
So when you went back and watched the tape, what did you see? Were the mistakes in your eyes, were they obvious? Or were they things you didn't really realize were happening until you were able to sit and watch the film?
I mean, there were a couple mistakes, you know, on the back end. But, you know, the big mistake was just really that big run play that happened when Derrick Henry ran for, like, 60-plus yards. You know, I felt like that play right there changed the momentum of the game. But, you know, it comes down to the whole defense, really, because, you know, we run stuff as a team. We pass, you know, efficient as a team. So everybody could be better in that on that play.
DJ, I'll do all the talking so you don't get in trouble, but shame on you for hurting that guy's feelings. I'm sorry. That taunting thing, it's ridiculous, man. And, you know, I saw Julio Jones spin the ball, and that didn't get called.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, it's just frustrating. What do they tell you about that, and is that something you think maybe will go away, or how are the coaches talking to you about it?
I mean, the coaches are basically saying it's not going away, so we got to adapt to it.
Yeah.
You know, I would never put my team in a situation like that knowingly. That's something I've been doing my whole life. You know, what people don't understand is that people that make these rules, what they don't understand is, you know, when you're battling with someone, you talk smack, you're going at it, you're competing with them, you know, you're chipping away at them. When they catch a ball, they're talking to you, vice versa. When you make a play, you're celebrating, like, and that's just how I was. That's how I grew up. But now you have to literally, you know, when you make a play, I have to train my mind now. Been on this earth for 24 years. I have to train my mind now to look the opposite way, look into the crowd or look to my team instead of looking at the person and talking to them when I make a play. It's honestly, I think it's soft. I think it's really soft, but that's the way the league is doing it. So I have to adapt to it, and I will adapt to it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you will. It's just so frustrating to watch, too. And, you know, look, there's a lot of emotion in this game, you know, and you're going to get fired up. Yeah, so anyway.
A lot of emotion. And I play with a lot of emotion. I play with a lot of passion. I play this game. This game, to me, has always been a stress reliever. I leave it all out on the field. Like, that's literally, I literally wear my emotions on my sleeve. So it's definitely going to be something I'm going to have to adapt to because I can't, you know, give a 15-yard penalty up for taunting when it's a 3rd and 6 and we get off the field. It's too hard to get off the field, you know, on 3rd down in the NFL. So I'm definitely going to adapt to it.
As far as going up against receivers like Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, these are big dudes. I mean, just even by normal standards, big guys. Is that something – I get the sense you look at that and you're excited about that challenge because of their reputation and because of their size. Is that something you really sort of embrace?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I love playing against great receivers. I mean, we came into this week, obviously, everyone knows who Julio is. You know, A.J. is an up-and-coming guy that's been balling since he's been in the league, so I was looking forward to the challenge.
Hey, DJ, one of the plays from you that stands out the most was actually last year in the playoff game against the Rams. You came down the line, and I think you kind of dinged up your shoulder a little bit, but What I could see there is you're throwing every bit of what you have into a tackle, and your physicality, you got to take a lot of pride in that. That's what I'm seeing anyway.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, when I go out there, I'm all in, and, you know, I'm out there to win, and I'll do anything to win. And if that's giving my body up for the team, then that's just what I got to do. You know, we play this game with a lot of nicks and bruises, sometimes even injuries. You know, last week, I went out there with a, you know, my calf was strained, and I went out there and played because I wanted to be out there with my bros, and that's just what it is. So when I'm out there, I put it all on the line.
Yeah, well, it shows. Hey, I know you have to flush it pretty quickly. I mean, you know, you watch film, you move on to the next team, and now you're looking at Minnesota. And tell us what you're seeing from the Vikings.
Yeah, they have a good team right now. Obviously, they've had two losses, but the losses have been extremely close. You know, they're competing at a high level. Offensively, they do a good job of changing their personnel and running different things. They have a lot of explosive players like Jefferson. Thielen, he's also a good receiver who runs good routes. And obviously, their running back is really good, too. We just played Derrick Henry. Now we're playing Dalvin Cook. So we're playing another elite running back. So we have to be on our P's and Q's.
Hey, DJ, now, forgive me, have you returned any kicks this year? Have you been back there?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not returning right now. I've been a little banged up, so I haven't been returning any kicks.
When you get healthy, are you going to be campaigning to get back out there? Because if you don't, I will.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's in the game plan, but we'll see. I'm open to it if I have to do it.
Yeah. Hey, is there a side of you that gets kind of fired up going on the road? I used to love playing on the road just because when you could silence a stadium and I kind of fed off of the opposing fans. Is that something that you're aware of, you notice?
Me personally, I like playing away just for that reason. You know, it's literally just you and your teammates, and you guys are, you know, trying to get a win when there's 100,000 people, you know, cheering against you. So I love it.
Yeah, it's just you guys. The other thing, too, I always liked is that typically for a home game, everybody just kind of goes their separate way. But especially if you get a win on the road, man, it's the best because then you're hanging out with your brothers on the bus and on the plane and everything. You get to kind of enjoy it. It's like having a big party for like an after party.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like when you win on the road and you go, you know, on a plane, you're going to be sore, but at least you can be happy. Like, okay, I'm sore, but we came out with the win. You don't want a long plane ride home.
Yeah. Well, DJ, we really appreciate you taking the time, man. And best of luck this weekend. We'll be watching you, and good luck against the Vikings.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go. There's DJ Reed in our player spotlight for today. Good to catch up with him. And his biggest thing is just hopefully he's available. You know, he talked about being, you know, dinged up already. He was dinged up in training camp. And if there was going to be a knock on him last year, we loved who he was when he was on the field, but he was dinged up last year. So hopefully he can find a way to remain healthy. It becomes just a little bit tougher with now 17 games. So we'll see what he can do. But I feel good about him at cornerback. I guess my concern with him is more about availability.
Yeah, I think he's probably the best cover guy they have. So, well, I know he is.
Yeah.
That's in my opinion anyway. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It was just corner play and how it's been complained about so much this year. And, you know, maybe not so much in years past. And, again, I just don't think people understand, number one, how difficult it is. It's not easy. And number two is how often it happens around the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why you see receivers, you know, unless you have like a Stephon Gilmore type of player, I mean, there's going to be completions on, you know, receivers are going to get it. You can't jam them anymore. You know, you can barely touch them. You know, there's all kinds of rules that, you know, if you even touch, like, nick their face mask, anything, like, with your hands, it's just incredibly difficult. And then, you know, like the one bomb where Trey Flowers gets beat by Julio Jones, you know, nobody ever thinks that, like, I mean, are you supposed to be behind him? Are you supposed to be ahead of him? Like, you're trailing him. You are trying to knock the ball out of the air, and every rule there is basically makes it so you can't get on the other side of him. So, you know, that to me is, I just think it's highly scrutinized, but it's also just a position where you're going to be noticed.
Yeah,
everybody's going to say.
You've got receivers putting up huge numbers. They're doing it against somebody.
It's not just the Seahawks. I mean, Deebo Samuel of the 49ers has 282 receiving yards in two games.
Yeah.
Wow. Is he playing against a bunch of slappies out there, or is he just good? I mean, it's just Tyler's number two in the league at 278 yards.
Yeah.
You know, but you look at it, Cooper Kupp, 271 yards. Tyreek Hill, 211 yards. Brandon Cooks of the Texans has 210 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Are these guys just all in a fortunate position of playing against terrible corners? No, it's just that's what happens. They're going to make catches. There are going to be completions. Teams are going to score points. It's just, you know, I think people came in conditioned, at least in regards to Trey Flowers, ready to be mad.
Yeah.
Ready to go, there you go. See? He stinks. And I'm not making the case that he's a Pro Bowler or he's great or anything like that. I feel like I'm in between those that think he's terrible and those that think, hey, man, he's really good. You just don't see it. I feel like I'm kind of in between that. I think he can be. We've seen him be good. I think he's had some rough plays out there. But overall, is he an absolute liability? No. I think he's gone up against some tough competition that would probably have their way with a lot of cornerbacks, the majority of the cornerbacks out there. And you can just look at the receiving numbers for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. And then the other thing is, like, okay, you know, you get these texts, Trey Flowers is done, bench him, you know. Okay, well, who are you going to put
in favor
in there?
Of who? Is Sidney Jones going to be the guy? Because we talked to El Hombre about his time out there in Philly, and he, you know, was basically ready to drive him here to Seattle. So I know he was a Husky. I know he was a good college player. It doesn't mean, you know, because he wore that uniform and we've seen him at that level that translates to greatness. I would love for it to. I'm pulling for him. If he plays, I hope he turns into an absolute world beater. But the
other thing is that people are like, well, yeah, put him in there. Well, you know, it's got to be better than Trey Flowers. Are you watching practice? Because nobody's allowed to watch practice, and they're watching practice, and the coaches are, and they're not seeing something from him that, you know, makes them comfortable enough to put him in there with Trey. They're the most comfortable with Trey. And look, we said this in the beginning. We came into the season like that's their biggest question mark.
Yeah,
is corners. So, but yeah, it's just very difficult. You know, like I was saying, there was a sequence where. Trey Flowers got beat by Julio Jones. That's the one where he spins the ball. Okay, and you know, I said on that one, Trey Flowers pretty much it was taunting. He did everything that you could do except prevent him from catching the ball. And so, you know, like I said, the way that the rules are set up, and then, you know, the very next play, or maybe it was two plays later, Bobby, very well done. He picked up Julio Jones on a crossing pattern. And did the same exact thing. He was all over him, and the only thing he didn't do was keep him from catching the ball. I mean, that's Julio Jones. So, yeah, that's what – and I know that Trey gets a lot of heat for that. Remember in the Vegas preseason game, that Zay Jones, that he was just totally plastered all over that receiver.
Right.
And the guy somehow makes just an unbelievable catch. So, yeah, it's just a tough position. I mean, I know that Trey doesn't listen to any of the stuff. You know, he's very – I remember, you know, why he came over and gave me a handshake during a couple of years ago. I gave him a chia pet. It was a Golden Girls chia pet because he revealed to us that when his grandma was babysitting him when he was a kid, he would watch Golden Girls. And so he would, and so I saw down in San Francisco, we were on the road and I saw, it was like one of those promotion KTEL things, but there was a chia pet with one of the Golden Girls. So I gave him that for Christmas or something like that. That's probably why he remembered me. But I probably am a little bit easier on Trey just because I do like him. But the thing that I like about him the most is that he's physical and he's tough and he's old school. He doesn't get his feelings hurt. You know, like I said, he'll dislocate a finger, have the trainer put it back in, tape it up, and get right back in there. He's not dramatic about that stuff. He hits you, and he's a good tackler, you know, and so – it's
he said something
tough
to us, though, that kind of caught both our ears when he was talking about
getting in his head.
Yeah, and I can't remember how he phrased it, but he basically implied he's like beating himself up out there, you know, and you're thinking,
Gotta let that go.
Yeah, I can appreciate somebody who's that invested and takes pride in their craft and, man, I can't do that. I got to be better, whatever it is. But that position, how often do we hear it from guys? You got to have a short memory. Who was it, the goldfish memory? We got a bunch of goldfish out here, like the short memories. We had that quote the other day.
Is that Arians or
who was Scott Servais?
Oh, yeah. Servais.
Yeah. So, but that applies to cornerbacks because the nature of that position says, yeah, you're going to get beat. You're going to give up plays. You're going to, you know, things are going to happen where you, hey, you got another play. It's coming up next. You can't let the same play beat you twice.
Yeah, that's the saying. Yeah.
So that was the one thing that I remember us both looking at each other like, oh, you don't love hearing that. You don't love. I appreciate, again, his investment in succeeding and really wanting to do well, but you can't be hanging on to that when the next play is about to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I just think most fans don't know what they're looking at. I mean, the ones that are overly critical, they don't understand the whole concept and the idea of, you know, look how hard it is. What about other – why are these receivers, as you pointed out, getting – you know, there are catches being made all over the NFL in situations like that, and guys that are actually more wide open than that. So, you know, the worst thing you want – you don't want – the one thing you don't want and the worst thing that can happen is a guy that screws it up like whoever did the other day when Freddie Swain was wide open. I mean, those are the things that – and that was the one thing I was critical of Trey on last year. I think it was – 90% sure it was cover three, and he was not in his deep third, and they had a deep crosser catch a touchdown wide open right in his zone, and he was sucked up on the underneath route. But, you know, other than that, you know, he's getting beat because, you know, the receiver gets separation right away. The other thing also, you know, you're operating with your back to the ball, and the receiver, you know, is looking over his shoulder, and if you look over your shoulder, you have a tendency to drift away from the receiver. It's just a very hard job. But, look, he knows that, and I'm not making excuses. It's just that, you know, when it's harder than it looks. So, but the screw-up part of it, that's the part where I would be very critical of that because you have to have a guy that's in the right place. I just don't see a lot of that with him.
Yeah.
He's typically in the right place. It's just that he'll get beat on, you know, some of those plays that other corners get beat on as well.
Listen, if they've got a better option on the roster, I'm for it. I'm not going to sit here and say, no, you can't sit him down.
Sure.
He's done
I
too
totally
much.
I totally agree.
But you don't have that guy right now.
Right.
You just don't. Sidney may not be up to speed. Maybe he's just not as good. We'll see what happens. Maybe we see him this weekend. Trey Brown's been hurt. You invested a draft pick in this kid. We'll see what he's made of at this level. But he's not physically able to play right now. Bless Austin's another guy who's being brought in, and who knows how far away he is in terms of learning the defense, learning his responsibilities and keys. So it's what you've got. It's what they've got. And they're going to put the best of what they've got out there. And by the way, we're being told that's a Ted Lasso comment. It's Ted Lasso, morons, LOL, that Scott Service was quoting.
The other guy says, how have you not watched it? And I've heard it about it over and over
and
over.
It's on Apple TV. I don't have Apple TV.
Okay.
So it's not like it's on HBO, Showtime, or, you know, you got to subscribe to Apple TV, I guess, to get that.
Maybe somebody can text in how Bob can get free Ted Lasso.
Yeah. If you've got an angle there, let me know. And how about this one, Dave? 360. I don't care how strong and old school he is. He still sucks at coverage. He plays 5 to 10 yards off the receiver every play. He allows the ball to be caught and then just tries to tackle him. He needs to go.
Yeah, doesn't know what he's talking about. Go watch baseball. Become a baseball fan. You know, that's more predictable. But, I mean, he's lining up where they're telling him to line up.
Well, and that's – and I asked you and I asked Bump and different guys about that because I can see that being frustrating when you see him in a 3rd and 6 situation and he looks like he's 10 yards off the guy and the guy's just going to curl right in front of him and he's going to give up that underneath. Why is he doing that? Is that him? Is that coming from the coaches? And was that Paul? I think Paul Moyer was saying, hey, sometimes it is on the cornerback and they don't feel like they can keep up with him, so they're giving him that that stretch of ground, if you will. That would bother me if that's the case, that he's just like, I don't think I can keep up with this guy, so I've got to give him this much room.
Well, it's interesting.
That's problematic.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you watch it with Moyer. Like, okay, this is the catch everybody's complaining about. It's 3rd and 8, and he catches a 7-yard out route right in front of him. That's a win. We're off the field. You know, he stumbled a little bit, and that is Jerry Jeudy running across the field, and he's a Pro Bowler and this and that. But, you know, if he hadn't stumbled, and also where's the help from the safety here, or, you know, where's the underneath? I mean, if you went through, there would probably be of the 5 that – like numbnuts here thinks that, you know, are all terrible. You know, probably 4 of them are, okay, there's not a linebacker dropping underneath. Okay, it's this down and distance. Okay, this is what he's told to do. So, yeah, I mean, I think, it's just people are probably, you know, 1/4 of the time right. But you know, most of the time it's just because they're not sure. They don't know what the defense is. And so how could they know?
Yeah.
Because they're sitting at home watching it, you know, with their thumb in their mouth. So I don't know what the coverage is. I don't know what their responsibilities are.
Oh, so good.
They have one thumb in their mouth and one thumb in their rear end, and they're rotating.
Such a great visual, just watching football with the thumb in their mouth. What's he doing 10 yards off? And somebody's saying, come on, Bob, 10 yards off. Certainly. More than a few times. That's not an exaggeration, depending on the play. Watch him. It's happened. I'm not, and again, I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know if that's him. I don't, you know, Paul Moyer knows better than anybody, and he's said, hey, sometimes it does come from the coach. Sometimes it's the player making that decision. You know, that's where I would have a big issue with him, is if he just was lacking that confidence and saying, hey, I've got to give this guy that kind of cushion. Otherwise, I'm going to get beat deep.
Oh, here's my favorite. It's a scheme problem. Why don't you roll that scheme up, like, not so tightly, and shove it where the sun doesn't shine. Jeez, your scheme.
206, I'm with numbnuts. Been 3 years of being in the right place and failing to make a play.
All right, I like that one.
That was good.
I like
that. That was solid.
I'm
like it, 206.
Nuts. Okay, enjoy.
Okay. On that note, that does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Ryan Roland-Smith, Mike Varell, John Clayton, Mike Blowers, and DJ Reed, all join us on the program. Just going out with a bang there with the texters. Very good stuff. We appreciate it. We got Mariner baseball coming your way, the pregame show. See if they can get win number 3 in this 4-game series against the Oakland A's, because the Mariners are rolling. And a win today against Swerve and Irvin would be even better. We'll be back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.